Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 64. I'm proud and honored to have the one and only Scotty Mack. How you doing, brother?
Coach, I'm going to be singing that all afternoon, man.
Everybody nice. Say coach. Right. Thank you, man. All right, man, we know you're a busy man. We thank you so much for your time. But it's time for the first-timer question. What got you into the crazy world of professional wrestling?
I think I was super into wrestling ever since the first time I saw it, which would have been right around 1986, I think. Early, because WrestleMania 2 was the first WrestleMania that I remember knowing about when it was coming up and so on. And I didn't see WrestleMania 1 until after I'd already been watching wrestling for a couple of years. And then my dad and then a couple other dads in the neighborhood took a few of us to WWE, but obviously WWF at the time, at the Pacific Coliseum in Vancouver. It was 1986. It was for my 8th birthday. So right around my 8th birthday, and the main event was the British Bulldogs against the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov. And then there was a great Junkyard Dog and Paul Orndorff match on that as well. So after that, it became an obsession. And I think within a few years, it was all I wanted to do. That was it. It was a foregone conclusion that I was going to be a wrestler.
Right on. And, man, you've had quite the legacy. I've been a fan since you started, my goodness. And so my first segment is called Heroes. Tell the fans,
yes,
who were your heroes growing up? And that includes ordinary life, sports, music, and wrestling.
Oh, I like that. That's a cool question. Wow. I think if anybody's seen me wrestle or spoken to me for any length of time, they know I'm a big fan of Shawn Michaels, as a lot of us are in this age group. And growing up, he's arguably the greatest of all time. And the man that held that, I think, before him, I think, would have been Ric Flair. So I was a big Ric Flair fan. Bret Hart, obviously being a Canadian boy, Owen Hart. Loved Mr. Perfect. And as I got older, wrestlers like William Regal became one of my favorites. Outside of wrestling, it would have been the whole reason I got my ears pierced was a Canadian pop star in the 80s called Corey Hart. He sang Sunglasses at Night and he had a few other pretty big hits. I think outside of outside of that, I mean, I love the Kids in the Hall. That's a Canadian comedy troupe. I'm not sure if you guys, how much you've watched that, but they came out with a new season on Amazon Prime recently. So the Kids in the Hall were hilarious. I credit them for having a good sense of humor, and if somebody finds me funny. So, yeah, I think those would be the major ones, would be Corey Hart and the Kids in the Hall outside of wrestling.
What about in sports?
I was never a huge sports guy after high school. I watched hockey, so I really liked Jari Kurri. He played on the – he was a Finnish player on the Edmonton Oilers, and then later on the Los Angeles Kings with Wayne Gretzky. They were quite the team on both those NHL teams. Bill Ranford was a really great goaltender for the Edmonton Oilers as well. I cheered for the Vancouver Canucks for a few years because I do live in Vancouver. But after high school, when I got into wrestling, most things in my life dropped off besides that, including any interest I had in the NHL.
Okay, yes. And then let's see. Did you play sports in high school or growing up?
I did amateur wrestling, and then I did martial arts as well. And I really credit martial arts for the just being prepared for the physicality of wrestling, because I did that since I was 8, and even at the ages of like 8, 9, 10, you know, the little kid, we still had full contact fighting at that point. Obviously, not to the head or to the nuts or anything. But, you know, when we were punching each other and kicking each other in the chest and the legs and so on, it was full contact. So when it came time for wrestling, it was very helpful because I wasn't afraid to get hit. And then I was also a lot more flexible and just prepared for combat, so to speak, by being a martial arts. So it's never a big team player guy. I don't know if that's, I think my personality, I'm a pretty decent team player, but as far as like playing on sports teams, that really didn't happen a whole lot. It was individual stuff for me.
Speaking of being a team player, man, you got one of the best teams in wrestling and you've had for over the years. Tell us about the group you're in.
Well, I've had quite a few over the years. My longest running tag team partner, and obviously, you know, if he's not my favorite, he's tied with my favorite, would be Dropkick Murphy, who I'm really excited has made a triumphant return to pro wrestling in the last year or two. And he looks better than ever, and his wrestling is top-notch and very, very entertaining and enthusiastic. So this is a dude that's been around like 20 years and is now hitting his stride and looks like $1 million. And so I see a lot of good things happening for Dropkick Murphy. Tag team right now with an up-and-coming hillbilly hound dog, Draco, who, if you haven't seen him, check him out. I encourage everybody to look up the hillbilly hound dog, Draco, because he's doing some cool stuff, and I think he's easily one of the hottest rising stars here in the Pacific Northwest. Obviously, there was a time where here in BC, like, our wrestlers would travel across for shows in Washington and Oregon quite regularly. I think it's still happening because we've got Canadian guys going over there for Defy in Washington, which is great. But Draco's mostly been wrestling in BC and Alberta, but he's really doing good things. And then we have the faction Chilltown, which Dropkick and I still keep that name for our team. But outside of that, I guess there was a tag team with Christina Bonieri as well, which was a good time at the time as well. So outside of that, and you know what, I just reconnected with Havoc for the first time several years. Yeah, we were talking on Facebook Messenger the other day, and really excited to hear about his success, especially since what happened, you know, a few years ago where he had said something that was frowned upon online. But unfortunately, like, I'd say fortunately for him, because he had enough bravery to say it, he turned out to be right.
Yeah.
Because he was, you know, and that's redemption. And I think everybody that attacked him online owes Havoc an apology, because he's a great dude. And he told me he works with the UFC. So he's doing very well for himself.
Yes, and I'm not sure if you knew or remembered or whatever, but one of my proudest achievements is getting Havoc into the business of wrestling and getting him started on the basics, and then get him hooked up with Dabashi, and then it was history from there. He had quite a run in Canada back in those days too. Yes, and man, he's a great guy, and like I said, I'm very proud.
You should be, man, and he's a great, like you said, he's a great guy too, just a great human being. So it was great reconnecting with him, and both of us touched on the fact that, you know, it's disappointing him and I never got to, we never got like that, the tag team split and then what's often the feud that follows.
And then how many different characters have you been in wrestling? And then from there, of course, I'm pretty sure you've done every aspect of the business, ring crew to announcing. Tell the fans.
Yeah, not pretty well-rounded, and it wasn't necessarily something I intended. I just wanted to be a wrestler. But, you know, as time goes on, you get the chance to do different things. And in 2008, I had already been involved in the office for a couple of years with ECCW, and Dave Republic was looking to get out, and so he wanted to sell it, and it ended up being sold to me and then a couple of partners in 2008. We've had a few different partners come and go in that time, and I still do own ECCW if I chose to revive it. As far as characters go, Scotty Mac has been, you know, the constant, and the, you know, I don't stray from that too much too often. I did play a character in South America, and I spent half a year in Paraguay doing a wrestling promotion called Luchando in Las Americas with a great friend of mine, Joel, and we brought Jason Sullivan and the Devil Drexel out there, two of my favorite wrestlers and two great guys I was really happy to get to know out there and get close to. And we did a lot of cool stuff for 6 months. Didn't quite get the, you know, it would have been nice to if we got another season and we were able to keep going, but, you know, the circumstances were what they were, and that didn't happen. But when we were there, because there was only a handful of talent from North America, and we were teaching the wrestlers and aspiring wrestlers in Paraguay the North American style, and we had to get them ready for TV within a few weeks, which was a lot of pressure, and they did really well considering, and I had some matches I'm really proud of out there, and had a really good time with just being that immersed in a TV show, because when we're there, we're in the ring 6 days a week, you know, training for five and TV taping on the sixth, and it was, you know, you wake up in the morning and pro wrestling was all you had to think about and all you had to do until you went to bed at night. And it was literally living the dream for half a year where, again, it was all wrestling all the time. And there, because we had less North American talent, I went to Joel and I said, it's called Don Choco on the shows. And I said, well, I got an idea for another wrestler. It won't cost us any trans or we won't have to put them up. It's just me under a hood. And so I tried that, and I didn't speak very much Spanish at all. So I had a beautiful woman with me, and she was like my translator. And nice. So it was after my first match, and I had a hood on. It had long hair built into it and long sleeves. Everything was covered. And I said to the live crowd, through my interpreter, I said, you don't know who I am, but to be fair, I don't know who any of you are either. And then from the crowd, you hear, Scotty Mac, and they could tell that I was Scotty Mac, even though I was covered from head to toe,
full
face mask, everything. And I guess whether it be maybe my stature or my the way I moved, or some of the girls in the crowd said it was my bum that gave it away. whatever that means. And so we went for, I thought I had this great idea that was going to go on for months. And instead we had to do the big reveal that it was, you know, their baby face, their top form baby face that was under this hood. And I kind of incorporated some of that into Scotty Mac, where when I came back to Canada, I continued to wear eye makeup and this silver all over my body and a bit different of what I was doing from before. But I, when it comes down to it, it's really always been Scotty Mac, with the exception of a few short-lived things there.
Okay, cool. And man, speaking of South America, my goodness, that I really loved watching that. I was proud of you guys too. And then for the fact of, you could see that they have a decent wrestling scene down there, but you could see as you guys got there and it started and then to what it became and progressed to, that it, like, you guys doubled the scene, doubled the talent, and it just made you guys shine as wrestlers that are from the Northwest, and it made wrestling shine. Man, I love that.
Yeah, it was I would say the best experience of my life. It really was. It was, it changed my life, and by that time I was already in my late 30s, and I was starting to, I thought, okay, well, the WWE ship has sailed at this point, because, you know, they're not looking for guys in their late 30s. If I didn't get signed by that point, I wasn't getting signed. So I started thinking, do I need to get a normal job? Do I need to start dressing normal and devoting my time to something else? And it was my time in Paraguay, and I'm really appreciative of everyone involved in that. I always will be. That it showed me that Scotty Mac wasn't going anywhere, and I wasn't going anywhere as far as wrestling goes. And it really just, it restored my confidence even. And then since then, I, you know, with the exception of some more bumps in the road in the last few years, I'm very happy to still be doing the whole Scotty Mac thing. I'm 44 now, and I'm involved in a couple of new ventures here in BC that I'm really proud of, really excited about. We got some great shows coming up, and it turns out I'm not done.
Oh, yes, definitely. Long ways. And then, hey, speaking of the ECCW, do you own the library also?
I do.
Okay, check it out.
I do. We've got a lot of big stars that have come through here, and we've got a lot of guys on that are a lot of wrestlers that are doing really well that started with us. And I even had WWE bought some of the footage of Becky Lynch from me in ECCW to use in her WWE 24/7 doc that they put on right before her WrestleMania main event. So it's turned out really well for me that even the WWE has bought some ECCW footage.
Right on. Okay. And then, yes, because the reason I ask is I got to wrestle Havoc at the House of Pain in 1999, which was one of my greatest matches. And it was nice that after the match, one of the fans came up to us and even said, that was the best match I've ever seen. And I went all out. I did the Rob Van Dam leap to the top ropes facing outside the ring. I jumped over the turnbuckle pole onto Havoc with the fist drop onto the floor, and I only had wrestling shoes on. Both my feet almost broke. I had such the shock on my feet. I was like, I will never do that again.
Well, I'll keep an eye out because I was training in 1999. I was training with KRM Wrestling in Alberta, and it was 2000 when I got back here to BC. I grew up in BC and just spent a couple of years in Alberta. And when I got back, that's when I started with ECW in 2000. So I can definitely see what I have if there's any possibility that I have any House of Pain matches from 1999.
Okay, yes, it would be in the summertime. And then, hey, I'm offering $100 American, brother, right this second to let you know. I don't expect you to just take your time to check that out, okay?
All right,
then,
okay.
You know,
so a little incentive for me there.
Yeah, so, like, if you don't find it, maybe you can call, give Dave a call or something. I don't know. Yeah, I might even get a finder.
Yeah.
Tell him I got something for him, too, if it comes down to that. Yes.
Excellent. I can do that.
Okay, now. All right, cool. Let's see. This next segment is called Memorable Matches. Now, I want you to tell the fans what are some of the best matches you've ever seen in your life that are the most memorable. You mentioned a few already, and I'm talking about VHS, tape, internet, live, whatever. Best matches you ever seen.
Okay.
Most memorable.
Oh, okay. I would say I took a look at those what you had in mind for today, and I think I saw them as memorable matches in mind. But if we're talking memorable matches in the on TV and all that, or live, I would say I always loved, and it's, I think it's underrated, Shawn Michaels versus Diesel, WrestleMania 11. Such a big Shawn Michaels fan that I was convinced, because I knew Diesel had come from WCW and that he was Mini Vegas, and you know I just saw him as Shawn Michaels' bodyguard, and as a fan, I was really disappointed that he got the title before HBK, and that, like, I knew HBK was as good as he was, and so I was convinced Michaels was going over and taking the belt as a heel. Obviously, I understand the business of it all, and they had him, you know, chase the boyhood dream as a babyface the following year, but that was a memorable match for me. I would say the Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero, the Mask versus Hair, Halloween Havoc. It's really tough to beat that.
Oh yeah,
both Shawn Michaels Undertaker matches at WrestleMania 25, and I think it was 25, 26, right? I'll also say, and this is a lot of this was because it made me feel like a kid again. WrestleMania 31. When they did Sting versus Triple H, and Sting had the NWO on his side, and Triple H had DX, and it was just teenage me was sitting there for that match, losing my mind. I was in Paraguay at the time, and the other wrestlers had gone out after the tapings. I just wanted to go home and watch WrestleMania, and so I'm sitting there in this beautiful place where Sting and watching WrestleMania by myself and just marking out like crazy just over getting to see NWO and DX. It didn't matter. This many years passed. It was so special. I feel like they gave me a half hour of my teenage years back. So that was really cool for me. There was not a match, but my best friend from when I was a kid, Patrick, and I went to an ECCW show at Eagles Hall, and where I wouldn't be able to tell you the matches on the card that night. I know some of the wrestlers I saw, but there was a segment where Matt Bourne came out, and he cut a promo on the live audience where he's just, I guess the word unhinged would be a good one. And you know, I was like probably 17. My best friend and I were scared to death. It was because I know wrestling is you know, Matt Bourne's mind, wrestling was real, and I've seen that shoot where he talks about you know, being really bothered when people say that wrestling is fake. He said, "What I do isn't fake. What my dad that isn't fake. And that was wrestling was real in those moments. And then I was fortunate enough to get to share a locker room and with Matt Bourne later on, and he was really cool to me and way sooner than he needed to be. And so that was a very memorable moment for me on a show as a fan, especially to then be you know, treated like a peer of his years later when I was in the UCSB locker room.
Yes, what a blessing. Yes, and let's stay on Matt for a minute. I was blessed to be on the Sandy Barr tribute show with him and share the locker room
awesome.
With him. That was nice. You know, and then, man, one of the toughest wrestlers in the world with his legendary fight with Brian Blair, my goodness.
Yeah.
And then
very
his
cool.
His doink stuff was off the charts.
Yeah, that was actually, speaking of Dropkick Murphy, that was a match with Matt Bourne. Well, match with Doink the Clown, Matt Bourne. I'm not sure. It was somewhere in Washington. It was here in Canada, and it was basically the Dropkick's breakout match. In the sense, it was after that match he really established himself because he really brought it against Bourne, and it was like, obviously ECCW those days, you know, it's almost like everything was no DQ, and there was several chair shots, and at that time, you know, we were all pretty much taking them unprotected. And I, you know, at the time we thought we were tough, but it turns out we were just stupid. But, you know, at the time we were very proud of it. And Dropkick showed how tough he is in that match.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Okay. And now we are excited to hear your most memorable matches.
It starts with my matches with Chance Beckett, who I would credit for, you know, if you said, okay, who's one guy? Because obviously, as wrestlers, I think most people would say there's several wrestlers that train them. And Chance Beckett, I would give the most credit to. And then getting to work with him so often in the first 6 months of my career was so valuable because, and you know, I'm naturally pretty good at pro wrestling, but Beckett made me way better than I had any right to be in those first 6 months. And you know, a lot of it was him carrying me, in a sense, like, you know, me following him. It was really difficult to have a bad match with Chance Beckett. He's easily one of the best to ever lace up a pair of boots in my mind. Some really memorable matches in ECCW with Juggernaut, which is quite the size difference, but it didn't matter. It's another guy that made me look like $1 million. He broke the ring with me in a super bomb, and it was either Port Alice or Port Hardy on Vancouver Island gave me a big super bomb, and one of the stringers broke in the ring. So I was very proud of that. I had some great matches with Wrathchild, which is a guy that a lot of guys didn't want to work. He was almost 7 feet tall, big, scary dude. And again, I had great matches with him, Blood Buckets, Moondog Manson, who will tell you to this day, even though ECCW hasn't run in several years, Moondog Manson is still the ECCW Hardcore Champion. He's got that belt, and it comes with him to every show. And even on Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling a couple weeks ago, who I've been wrestling for quite regularly for the last year or so, Moondog going on to win the VIPW Anarchy title and hold that with the ECCW Hardcore title, and he still has the ring announcer announce him as the ECCW Hardcore Champion. And him and I had some great matches, some of them hardcore, some of them not. He just posted a match recently from 2002, I think, one or two, from the TNE Forum. And it was at a concert festival. And we beat the hell out of each other. And I watched that and I didn't remember being as good as that match being as good as it was until we watched it back again. And so I imagine a big reason why you'd love to watch that House of Pain match with Havoc again. You know, it's like to take you back. It was really great to see.
Oh, yeah.
And, I think I had some really great matches with the Grappler and Moondog Moretti in Portland Wrestling. I was fortunate enough to work with Buddy Wayne in Portland Wrestling. Every time I worked with Skag Rollins, that was always killer. And he's doing stand-up comedy in Las Vegas now, Todd Royce. But Skag and I always had some really great matches, too, in those early days. As time went on, some great matches with Kyle O'Reilly, with Davey Richards in ECCW in the years following that. But, yeah, those would be, excuse me for if I'm missing anyone. It's not because I don't appreciate, their contributions to my career. I'm not going to be able to say everyone, but those are all the ones that are coming to me right now from the early days.
Okay, very nice. And I got some notes from what you were just saying that I want to go over. Yeah, Moondog Manson, we're proud and honored. We interviewed him a few months ago, so we got him. And then I'm also a co-host of Turnbuckle Turmoil. They're one of the top blog talk radios that's been around for 13 years with 1,900 shows now, with Sign Guy as the,
wow,
as the host there. So we'd like to get you on because Sign Guy was telling me, like, they don't have hardly any people from Canada on Turnbuckle's library because just up until a couple of years ago, you guys couldn't really call the blog talk because it would cost you guys extra money. So about a year ago, they made it so we were able to call you. So I was blessed able to call you today, and we thank you for that.
Great. Well, I did have a deal on my phone when I was married to an American, so I would have been able to call you for 1.2. But I would love to be on Turnbuckle Time. You let me know, let's set it up.
Okay, nice. And then my other note was Juggernaut. And then a lot of the my standard questions here, you've touched on some of them without me even asking. And then talking about Juggernaut, my note with him was, my goodness, one of my standard questions are, who are some of your toughest opponents? And I guarantee you Juggernaut is on the list.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. And I was fortunate enough to get to work with him a lot. And for him to, in a sense, allow me, because the dude's, dude's like, he's a big boy. I don't even think I was 180 pounds when I was first wrestling him, and he still made me look like $1 million and sold for me and some bump for me. And so very, very fortunate that another guy from those days, Dr. Luther was cool enough. Him and I battled for ECCW on a few occasions. We had a really great match in Bellingham, Washington once. And, speaking of the Army of Darkness, the Black Dragon was so good to me. Brett Como, I got to know him personally as well. He became a close friend. And when I was first at Can-Am Wrestling in 1999, training with them and going to the Can-Am show, the guy that stood out to me on that show, and this is a, they had a lot of talented wrestlers, but the Black Dragon was the guy that stood out to me there. And for him to be the guy that I was taking on when I won my first ECCW title inside of a steel cage in Surrey, that was really special for me. And Black Dragon's a very talented wrestler.
Definitely. I've been blessed to be on shows with him at Cloverdale for Tim Flowers and at least say I was in the ring with him in a 30-man battle royal, but hey, he's still on my list of opponents.
Totally. I got a few of those too.
Okay, now you've touched on it a little also. Who else have been some of your favorite people to work?
Well, outside of that, more more recently, the Cremator, he's a big part of Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling. And the Cremator and I, we've had some killer matches. We're always looking forward to wrestling each other when we get the chance. I think today, you know what, and I'll give credit to Rhea Von Slosher, that she was, she got the she had the VIPW championship, and so I beat her for that earlier this year, and she was just honored at the Cauliflower Rally. So that really good for her. Another guy I enjoyed working, really tough guy that's working real hard on Vancouver Island, is BJ Laredo. And I didn't necessarily know, you know, what kind of future he was going to have when he first started. And now really, really tough dude that's doing a great job entertaining the people. And I think, again, Vancouver Island, I had a really memorable Fans Bring the Weapons match with Lax Siddhartha in Cloverdale at the Alice McKay. And the finish was, and you had Kenny Lush on your show just recently. And
yes,
Kenny
definitely.
Lush had one of those old school big screen TVs at his place. And so he brought that to Cloverdale for the Fans Bring the Weapons. And the finish, we took up the picture tube, and the finish was Lax Siddhartha going for a spear, me sidestepping it and spearing through one of those old school big screen TVs. That was very memorable for me.
Goodness. Oh, my goodness. And then, man, Lax Siddhartha, my goodness. People need to know more about him because his name sounds like he's a monster, and he is, right?
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, he is. Yeah, very very tough dude, and pleasure to work with.
Nice. Okay, my next segment is called Word Association. I'm going to list a name, and you can tell us a one-word answer or whatever it takes to describe the person.
Before we get
okay.
before we get to words, like, I'm going to say this. Every time I set foot in the ring with Adonis, or Air Adonis, as he's sometimes called, that's one of those, I don't think good friends, better enemies, but we're great friends and great enemies. And every time him and I get in the ring, we always have a killer match. It's just magic. So I don't want to leave him out.
Sweet. Okay, nice. Okay, so the first name is Tony Kazina.
Again, another guy I would have loved to have mentioned. I first got to wrestle him in Vancouver, Washington, and there was a I won my first wrestling title in Vancouver, Washington, actually in a three way with a Disco Fury and Adam Firestorm, or no, Disco Fury and Tony Kazina, I believe. And Tony and I, we had a couple matches following up like that were like half hour, 45 minutes. They're just go, go, go. And I've said this before, Tony literally kicked the snot out of me. Meaning when I was down on the mat, Tony is so good that everything is snug. He lays everything in, but it's so safe. He's so great to work with. And he's stomping me, giving me these boots to the head. And I literally saw snot going down out of my nose onto the mat. He literally kicked the snot out of me that night, Vancouver, Washington. So my matches with him, I definitely had to earn it.
Okay. How about Ladies' Choice?
Oh, talk about a good time. You're not going to have a better time. You're not going to have more fun time in a wrestling ring than if you're in there with the Ladies' Choice. And we've done it all over the place, all over the Pacific Northwest. BC, Washington, Oregon, everywhere. And I would wrestle him, as Moondog Moretti once said, 7 days a week, twice on Sunday.
And man, he's so underrated. I would say he's up there with some of the greatest independent wrestlers in the Northwest. Hands down.
Without question. Without question. And he could move so well for a man his size. and at, even at his age at the time, when we were doing Portland wrestling in the early 2000s, you know, him going up for a back body drop, it was so impressive. He's and he was so good to me, man. I learned more. I got to team with Terry Taylor against Moondog Moretti and the Grappler in I believe it was Salem, Oregon. And I learned more in that 40, 45-minute match just from being in the ring with those three than, you know, than some people do in 4 or 5 months of wrestling training. It was just, it was very, very impressive.
Sweet. Okay. And then let's see. How about Torch?
Torch, Adam Firestorm, I don't know anybody that has a bad thing to say about him. And whether that be his in-ring work or just the person he was outside of the ring. Very, very loved and respected. And he was one of those guys around here that, you know, started it all. He was a high flyer and set the tone for a lot of high flyers coming in the years after him.
And then just to be such a great guy and such an asset to shows and the quality of wrestler, my goodness, he was off the charts, yes.
That's
okay.
For sure.
Fabio.
Fabio. I wrestled him in I believe it was North Bend one night, and we were doing it was when ECCW and Fabio had ASW at the time, and it was, obviously you remember, there was a time where a lot of the time we were keeping the locker rooms more separate. You couldn't work for the other promotion in your area.
Oh, yeah.
It was frowned upon, or you wouldn't get a push. And ECCW and ASW ended up having an agreement where we were sort of, we'd send a few guys over there and they'd send a few guys over here. And we started this feud between Fabio and myself. And he came in he did a run in on an ECCW show in one of my matches. And he cracked me with like a wooden chair, like not your folding steel chair, but like a wooden chair from the crowd. And I got to the back and Michelle Starr and Dave Republic were so hot at me because they said, we didn't tell you if you get color, but it was hard way. I didn't gaff or nothing. He just obviously split the top of my head open with the chair. But I don't hold it against him. I enjoyed working with him. I had a bloodbath with him. I've bled more than you'd think a pretty boy. maybe I don't know if I'd be called a pretty boy now, but for the first at least half of my career I was, and I bled a lot more than you'd expect. And there was a match we had in Nanaimo, Fabio and I. And Crimson Mask is definitely appropriate for that one. And Fabio and I, we tore the house down in Nanaimo.
Definitely. Okay. How about Disco Fury?
He's a good dude. There was a professional rivalry, but personally, we didn't like each other for a long time, too. We clashed. I think we were both kind of after the same spots, and Disco Fury wasn't a fan of mine, and I really didn't like him either. And the cool thing is, it was a few years ago at one of the ECCW anniversary shows, because his son wrestles now, and he came out to the ECCW anniversary show. I think it was like the 24th one or something, so it would have been about 3 or 4 years ago. And we mended the fences finally after all these years, and it felt real and it felt sincere. So at this point, I don't have bad things to say about Disco Fury, and I always did enjoy my matches with him. He's a good wrestler.
What a blessing! And yes, he is a fun wrestler to watch. Okay, what about Short Sleeve Samson?
It's funny you say that. I don't know if you. If you've seen online, but we've got Short Sleeve Samson coming here to Vancouver in Alder Grove, November 3rd and 4th. For the first night is at Hastings Park for Canadian Apex Wrestling, which is a new promotion. We just did a couple of shows at at the racetrack. The ring was set up next to the horse racetrack there on a couple Friday nights at the end of summer. And so now we got our first show, November 3rd, main event, Short Sleeve Samson versus Canadian Badass. And I knew if I wanted a wrestler of short sleeve stature, that he was the guy to go to, because I've known him for years. You know, we didn't spend a lot of time together, but our paths crossed a few times. I think the first time was in Calgary at a concert festival, and there was a tag match. It was me and a dude against Short Sleeve and a dude, and I was so impressed. And one of the most impressive things is, speaking of that body drops, but I was talking about the one that I gave him already. Wow, I'm talking about the one Short Sleeve gave me. You know,
wow.
Dude's not very big, but he got me right up there for that back body drop, and really excited to work with him again. November 3rd and then November 4th in Alder Grove, we got a family show at Loft Country Wrestling. That'll be our fifth show that I do with them. And speaking of memorable matches, I've had some of my favorite matches ever with my tag partner Draco against this father-son team, a legit father-son team of Sheriff T and the Young Gun, Jonathan Souls. And if the Young Gun wants, the sky's the limit for this kid. He's 17 years old, and he's got a very, very bright future. He works so hard, and I'm really proud of him.
Nice. Okay, and one of the independent greats, Christina Von Erie.
Christina Von Erie is definitely one of the independent greats, yes. And she was a pleasure to be around, in and out of the ring. And while we're no longer together, I do wish her nothing but health and happiness and continued success in pro wrestling.
Yes, for sure. Okay, and what about Michelle Starr?
Michelle Starr, you know, he's the guy that gave me my first break, and a guy I learned a lot, whether it be at training or wrestling him in the ring. And he did a lot for wrestling in the Pacific Northwest, keeping it alive when wrestling wasn't nearly as hot as it was in the late 90s or as it is, even is today. And through those tough times, Michelle Starr kept it running. And you know, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have gotten to, you know, he was ECCW, and now it's mine, and I'll always appreciate, you know, what he did and the way he built it up and the success he had, because that allowed me to then take it to the levels that I did, which the proudest would be our sold-out Commodore Ballroom shows. We had a dozen sellouts out of, I think, 15 total nights, because a couple of them were two nights. And in Vancouver, the Commodore Ballroom is legendary for for concert venues. And so ECCW really, we went to new heights when we started running the Commodore every 6 months. And it will always be up until this point, it's my proudest professional accomplishment is the ballroom brawls we did.
Very cool. Okay. What about Tim Flowers?
Tim Flowers, I was fortunate enough to get to know after his time in wrestling. He's pretty much done for the most part when I got to know him, but I've been fortunate enough to spend time with him, and he's a good dude and definitely a legend here in the Pacific Northwest, and another guy that I'm thankful for what he did for wrestling and what he set up and what he left for me when it was my turn.
Definitely. And then the last name is Randy Taylor, the pimp.
Randy Taylor and I, we weren't around each other a whole lot. I saw him more when I was coming to indie shows here in BC, rather than sharing a locker room with him. He was pretty much done, or at least not working for ECCW when I came in. But what I saw, I enjoyed, and he's got my respect.
Okay, cool. And then let me see, what do you got coming up?
As I mentioned, I got November 3rd for Canadian Apex Wrestling at Hastings Park here in Vancouver. Tickets are going on sale, I think, this weekend. Gianco at Telus.net if you want to send him an email. But you should keep an eye out for that online. Main event by Short Sleeve Samson and Canadian Badass from Alberta. Really talented little dude. And then also the next night in Alder Grove, Short Sleeve Samson. And I think because it's a family show, we're going to have to call him the Canadian Bad Guy on that one, because can't say ass on that show, but they will be main eventing that match or that show. And really excited about what I'm doing with both promotions there. And then on top of that, I got Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling, which they're running two shows a month on Vancouver Island, which last month they celebrated their 10th anniversary for in Nanaimo in Victoria. We got, you know, over 600 in Nanaimo, which was a great night, and sold out in Victoria, which was probably between 300 and 400. And then I go back there in 2 weeks, October 21st and 22nd, I believe, in Port Alberni and Duncan. And, 20th and 21st. And I've got Draco and I, and Dropkick Murphy, inside of a steel cage, War Games rules, against Moondog Manson, the Cremator, and Evil Deeds. And so I love a good War Games match. So that one's going to get bloody. And then the next night, the Cremator and Evil Deeds are looking to bury Draco and myself in a casket match. So that's Port Alberni and Duncan, and then we'll be back in Victoria and Nanaimo in November. So that's the shows I'm working for regularly these days, but who knows, maybe I'll add more.
All right, and then you mentioned earlier some up-and-comers. Is there any other up-and-comers you'd like to tell the fans about that we might be able to look up?
Well, like I said, Draco, keep an eye on him. There's another guy, really impressive physical specimen by the name of Lacumbo, the mighty Lacumbo. And he's doing really well. He's the current ASW, the current All-Star Wrestling champion. And keep an eye out for him because he's very, very talented, very athletic, and he looks like a star. Another guy, Sean Murphy, the prodigy Sean Murphy. He was trained by Seth Rollins and Derek Brave and Seth Rollins at their school. And we're fortunate enough to have him in the Pacific Northwest. Very hardworking, talented dude. The sky's the limit for him, so keep an eye out for him. Sharif Morrow, he's a really, really great wrestler that's been consistently delivering for the last several years around the Pacific Northwest and into Washington. So Rex Rothschild, another really good dude out here. And then Jordy Taylor has been around for a while, but keep an eye out for him as well. He's having some really great matches.
Okay.
I don't want to leave any. Oh, Braden Goss. There's another guy, Braden Goss. He's always entertaining. He's doing a lot of stuff here in D.C. and Alberta. So at risk of leaving people out, those are the guys I'll mention today.
Okay, and then the Morrow guy, is he second generation related to Jerry?
No, but I wonder if he should go with that. But he's not, but very talented dude, and he's a guy that any wrestling show that I'm putting on, you're likely going to see him on it because he consistently delivered.
And then speaking of Jerry, man, what a great wrestler, fun guy, and just an awesome person.
For sure. It's, didn't get a whole lot of time with him, but I believe he was in the Can-Am locker room in 1999 when I was there. And so we crossed paths very briefly, but he's someone I watched on Stampede Wrestling growing up.
And then to stay on the subject, I got Havoc his first match booked in Canada. It was against Jerry Morrow, and he was happy to be squashed in seconds with the splash.
Good. Well, as we should be, right? If you're booked,
exactly.
Especially when if you're green and you get to go there out there and do what you love and entertain the people, and at that time, you know, make someone else look good. And then as the years go by, make others look good in a different way. That's something I've always taken pride in is, you know, when I'm out there, yeah, I want to get over and I will get over, but I want to get my opponent over too. And, I want them to look great and be happy with the match. And I think I can say that that's happened the majority of the time. You know, if you're in there with me, it's safe and you're probably going to have a good match and I'm pretty easy to work with. So I take a lot of pride in that.
Definitely. Yeah. And then, you know, hey, just to have your name called and to be in the ring with Jerry Morrow, what a blessing.
For sure. I mean, that goes for a lot of the people we've talked about today. It's wrestling is, you know, for me, it's all about mutual respect and it's cool to get to do what we love with people we admire. Speaking of memorable matches, I'll mention that. Oh, here we go. There's a few that I didn't mention yet. And I would say El Fantasmo, who's doing great things in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
He's got to be one of the most talented wrestlers on the planet. I really love working with him. What were we saying right before that? What did you just ask me?
Let me see. I forgot off the top of my head. We were talking about up-and-comers.
There was someone else that I was going to mention that, but it's lost on me now. Oh, here
okay,
we go.
No,
it was a cool memory. We're talking about memorable matches. I was,
kid,
so, I talked about Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair, but Brutus the Barber Beefcake, I was such a big fan of Brutus Beefcake. And a guy named Mike Democrat, who works in wrestling around here, you know, has in the last few years, he brought in Brutus Beefcake for some shows. And it was so cool that I got to stand there and hear that music as he strutted out from the locker room. And the first night we were a tag team against the Bollywood Boys and we lost. And so I attacked Beefcake after the match, setting up the match for the next night. And then I got to wrestle Brutus Beefcake and he put me in the sleeper and cut my hair. And so, you know, that again, talking about the younger me, like, you know, 10, 11 years old, that if you'd told me I was going to be able to wrestle Brutus Beefcake one day and then cut my hair, that was pretty cool for me.
Yes, dream come true, yes. And then I want to tell the fans something about I seen on Facebook, which describes you really good. You're the most decorated wrestler in the history of the Pacific Northwest, unmasked and non-compliant, the king. And then, tell the fans, what are some of the titles that you're most proud of?
I would say my titles in ECCW were really meaningful. My first ECCW championship. I think I've held the ECCW tag team championship more than anyone and with more different partners than anyone. So those are really special to me. The titles in Portland Wrestling, both the Portland Wrestling Championship and the tag team championship, I got to hold those with the Grappler.
Oh, wow.
You know, that's tough to beat. And that's actually what set up. We won the tag titles, and I was already the Portland Wrestling champ at the time, and we're in the ring. Moondog Moretti is interviewing us, and I said how excited I was. You can find this online, I'm sure, how excited I was to be teaming with the legend, tag team champion, with a legend like the Grappler. And Grappler is legend. You call me old? And then he attacks me, lays the boots to me, and loads that boot up. And in what turned out to be real, you know, I butchered my forehead, and I ended up with about 25 stitches from quote unquote the loaded boot. And
okay, wow.
It was nasty. And that was one of those times where I learned I wasn't invincible, because when you're young and in your 20s, you know, you feel invincible. It's like, you know, I can do anything and I'm going to be okay. That was a scary one. But, yeah, holding the tag team titles with the Grappler was amazing.
Definitely. Okay. Now, this next segment is called Favorites. Tell the fans, what's your favorite? The fans and sign guy from Turnbuckle Turmoil, he's a huge coffee guy. If you drink coffee, what is your favorite coffee to drink?
So are we including the fancy stuff from Starbucks and all that?
Yes.
All right. So it'd be a dirty chai. And it was introduced to me by Angelina Love, who I was fortunate enough to work with on the ECCW women's shows they did called Supergirls. And that's where we had Becky Lynch out for those as well. I met her when we were in Ireland, and that was actually what prompted her to come out to the Pacific Northwest. And she said that herself. A lot of talent, Maddie Neidhart, Sir Natalia on those Supergirl shows. And a lot of really talented females came through around those times. And Angelina Love and I were getting a Starbucks, and she suggested a chai tea latte with a couple shots of espresso in there. And if anybody hasn't had it, the dirty chai. And I don't necessarily ask for it that way, because the barista might think I'm saying something offensive. But dirty chai, that would be my coffee.
Yeah, and she's definitely a sweetie. Okay, and then now, your favorite concerts you've seen.
I would say there is three that come to mind right away. I've seen the artist Beck more than I've seen anyone else, and he always delivers. I've seen, and this is before they got real big, but Tegan and Sarah, as strange as it sounds, I was a big fan of theirs at one point, and very intimate shows that they would put on. And I saw a really great show at Deer Lake Park here it's in Burnaby. It's my favorite outdoor concert venue, because the way the stage is set up, it's got a natural incline of the hillside going down the hill. So you've got that incline so everyone can see the stage. And then the way it's set up behind the stage, I've seen a few shows there, but the Arcade Fire is called. It's a band from Montreal. I think there's like 10 or 11 people in it. And it's such big sound by the Arcade Fire. And the sun was setting behind the stage at, you know, the most perfect time. And, it was an incredible experience. So that would be, that takes the cake for me.
Okay. Awesome. Yes, and I'm going to give a shout-out to Canadian music. My goodness, I'm a huge fan of the Canadian music scene, where there's at least a half a dozen of the Canadian stars that are some of the top in music, like Rush, for example. It was one of my favorite bands I've seen four or five times. Of course, Triumph,
okay.
April Wine. There's so many great
artists
from Canada. Yes.
Yeah, you got my buddy Malcolm. He says April Wine's the greatest Canadian act of all time. I don't know if I agree with him on that, but he seems to think so. And Canada, I've always said, we produce great entertainers. As far as great entertainment goes, there's not too many Canadian television shows or movies that anybody outside of Canada has seen, with the exception of like Kids in the Hall and Tom Green. But we make great entertainers, whether it be musicians or comedians or wrestlers, obviously, a lot of Canadian wrestlers. That was a really proud, I was at a Cauliflower Alley club 1 year and in Las Vegas there, and they were doing the special, they were honoring Canadian wrestlers specifically that year, and so all us Canadians got to go up for its big group picture, and I was, you know, I was a few spots away from Bret the Hitman Hart, and just to, you know, to be in any group with the Hitman was just such an honor and a privilege. And I'll say this too, again, going back to your previous question, memorable matches. There is no feeling that matches the Canadian Stampede in your house, Canadian Stampede at the Calgary Saddle Dome. And it was Steve Austin, Goldust, Ken Shamrock, and the LOD in a 10-man tag against the Hart Foundation, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, the British Bulldog, Brian Pillman, and Jimmy Anvil Neidhart, when the Hart Foundation were baby faces in Canada and, baby faces everywhere except the United States. And it was about 45 minutes long and about whatever, 13, 14, maybe 16,000 people at the Saddle Dome in Calgary did not stop making noise from the moment the Hart Foundation, when it came out one by one, they did not stop making noise till it was done. And that pop when Owen Hart got the pin on Steve Austin and all the family got in the ring afterward. And it was cool. I got to know a lot of, people in the family years later, but to be a part of that in Calgary, I had never felt so proud to be Canadian as I did that night. And I love Steve Austin too, but it's like, we're in Calgary and it's a Hart Foundation, and it was, you know, that was our house. That was our night. So it's, if anybody hasn't seen the Hart Foundation against the 5-man team for the United States that I mentioned in your house, check it out, because it's really, really great.
And then
the whole match being there live, but
yeah, and then like you were saying, Canada turns out the comedy, the wrestlers. I mean, even like with my girl who's not a huge wrestling fan, she noticed like watching wrestlers like Chris Benoit. Of course, it turned out to be a tragedy, but you couldn't deny.
Of course, I was a big Chris Benoit fan though.
Yeah, his talent and you could tell that was like sort of the Canadian style, that they're tougher, better, smarter. You know, and then
being a Canadian wrestler of smaller stature, Benoit really appealed to me. If I could have been half the wrestler that he was, just incredible.
And then another unique thing about Canada that you touched on it a little bit, but let's talk about the fan base there. My goodness, it's one of the most fanatical fan bases in the world. That in Canada, pro wrestling is like a national sport, right?
Well, I would say specifically Toronto and Montreal have the crowds that you're talking about, because we haven't had a lot of big events take place here in Vancouver for whatever reason. As far as WWE goes, like there's only been like a couple of pay-per-views that they've had here. But it's that Montreal crowd and Toronto crowd when WWE goes there, that it's kind of like in New York City when they take over, when the fans take over the show, you know? And obviously the one night in Calgary, Canadian Stampede was special, but it's the Montreal and Toronto crowds. Maybe it's those Eastern Canadians that really bring it, but. Yeah.
Okay. All right, and then sticking to favorites, you mentioned some of your favorite sports teams. Was there any other favorite sports teams in your life?
No, it was the Edmonton Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings, and outside of that, it was all wrestling for me.
Okay, and then now, what are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
It's cool because I've said to so many that we've we've got more opportunities than ever in wrestling these days. But then at the same time, there's more competition than ever. So it's like, it's cool because you can, if you hustle and if you, you know, if you know what you're doing, you know, a guy can actually, I think, you know, make a living as an indie wrestler these days. And not necessarily, you're not necessarily going to get rich, but if you hustle and you get yourself out there and you're, you know, you continuously deliver and you've got your merch figured out and, you know, it's more than just WWE. Obviously there's AEW, but the amount of indie wrestling promotions that are drawing really well, I mean, it's got to be the best since the territory days. And I'd say there's more opportunity than ever, but obviously you want a reputable trainer, a reputable school, and I think just seek out, make sure that whoever you're thinking about training with has some decent credentials and as accomplished something in this business, whether it be success in the big time or just consistent success on the indie level. And, you know, who have they produced? Who's come from that school? Who's come from that indie promotion that you know? And there's enough out there that if maybe the one closest to you doesn't quite have it, but the one 2 hours away does. And, or maybe the one 12 hours away does. But it's, you know, if it's worth it to you, you're gonna, cause that's something that I've learned is because I always wanted WWE. Obviously I wanted I'd love a WWE contract and a lot of people had a lot of confidence that was something I was going to get, but I just didn't do the right things at the right time somewhere. Sometimes that didn't come to fruition for me. I'm very proud of what I've done here in the Pacific Northwest with ECCW and everyone else I've worked with. But obviously with WWE, what I wanted, but the people that I've been close to that have made it to WWE, to New Japan, I'll bring up Becky Lynch, Tennille Dashwood or Emma, as she's called in WWE.
Yeah.
Kyle O'Reilly, El Phantasmo, and the Bollywood Boys. So take those six. I'd say those are the six that I've been closest to that made it, you know, so to speak. And the reason why they made it is because wrestling wasn't just their top priority or one of their top priorities. It was their only priority. And they did whatever it took, like Tennille and all the way from other continents to North America to pursue their dream. Like, and both of them were like 18, 19 years old when that happened. That takes, you know, that's bravery. And then you've got Kyle O'Reilly who took a risk and went to the States and was on the road with Tony Kandina and David Richards and honing his craft. And look, you know, obviously Kyle, I hope he gets well soon and his continued success. El Phantasmo doing really well in New Japan. The Bollywood Boys, they did whatever it took to get to where they needed to be. And so young aspiring wrestlers, if you want that success that you dream of, it's got to be not just your first priority, but your only priority. And everything else in your life is going to suffer while that happens.
Yeah, and speaking of El Phantasmo, I seen one of his matches a few months back. It was very believable and amazing. It was in Defy against Steve Miggs. And then he's, of course,
nice.
El Phantasmo.
Love Steve Miggs.
El Phantasmo's talking about he's going to end his career. And the match unfolded and developed like that. And it was believable, brother.
Awesome. Yeah, El Phantasmo is so good. He makes it look effortless.
And then what schools would you like to suggest?
You know what? I'll leave that for everybody out there. I'm just find someone that has accomplished something And, you know, and that's not always going to be the promotion that's closest to you. You know, if you got to travel, it's like, how bad do you want it? So I'm going to leave that. And you know what? I'll say the Buddy Wayne Wrestling Academy, they've done pretty well. Like, look at Nick Wayne. It's cool. I've known him since he was a little boy. It's like, you know, we don't talk now, but I've known him and his mom since the Portland wrestling days. Well, I guess Nick came a little bit after that, but
hey, Nick's skyrocketing like a shooting star, isn't he?
Oh, I love it, man. It's so exciting to see.
Yes, definitely. Okay, and then, hey, how do people get a hold of you, brother?
You can find me online. If you put in Smack Wrestling, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, it's usually at Smack Wrestling. So it's S-M-A-C in the word wrestling. So I'm out there on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. And so whether it be to watch some of my stuff or to, you know, if you want to reach out, we're booking or whatever, that's where I'm at. Still going to go for a bit longer. I'm not ready to hang them up yet.
Cool. Okay. And then what else would you like to plug and promote?
I'm going to stick with the checkout what Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling is doing. Keep an eye out for Canadian Apex Wrestling, CAW. We're just getting started. And the Loft Country Wrestling shows on YouTube are a lot of fun. There's four of them up there. Really great atmosphere and really fun shows, and we're going to continue doing more of that. Can-Am Wrestling, that's who I started with in 1999. They're going strong in Alberta right now, and I've always had a soft spot for DOA. Jason Sullivan and Drexel have done wonderful things with that, you know, among others. But and obviously Defy has done really, really well for themselves.
Yes, for sure. Man, I thank you so much. I appreciate you and what you've done for wrestling. I wish you all the luck in the world, man. Thanks again. And, yes, we'll have Sign Guy get a hold of you to get you scheduled for Turnbuckle. Thanks again, man.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Scotty Mac, everyone. All right, we appreciate his time. And, man, the Seahawks are off this weekend. They're now 3-1. Mariners had a disappointing end of their season. Somehow the ownership will not make the extra strides to get to the next level. They've even put out a press release after stringing the fans along for so long, saying that their next plan is a 10-year plan with just a 54% winning percentage. That don't sound like championship caliber to me. And we missed the playoffs by one game again within days of the end of the season. That's the second or third time we've done that in the last 10 years. And I think they said no other team has ever done that more than once. But anyway, yes, let's see. The Seahawks next week will be playing. Let me see if I can find that. Right here. Week six. Okay. Seattle versus Cincinnati at Cincinnati. Okay, yes, we hope we can get that one. We need that game. And we're on a roll, man. Our defense is looking good. We beat the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. Seahawks have a 700% winning percentage on Monday Night Football. That's the best of any team in history. And we smoked the Giants 24-3. In New York, we are undefeated in MetLife Stadium there where we won our Super Bowl. So anyway, yep, we want to thank all the fans for all your feedback, all your questions you send in to us, for all your love and support and hope you give us. And you guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. And then also the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast every Saturday at noon Pacific. Next week, we're hoping to get Sexy Sean Casey from the 5 Most Wanted out of Cincinnati there next week. If not, we'll have him on the 21st. And on the 28th, we got Mike Rogers, who just put out the Encyclopedia of Wrestling for the Northwest. So we're excited to hear from him also. But anyways, we thank you guys so much. We love you and appreciate you. And here is the Never Were with Coach Mike Jones walk-on song with Joe Love. Thank you, guys.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones, I'm the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life inspired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.